Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where every week I interview a different small business owner and I ask them questions that matter and questions that you can kind of just take their answers and apply them to your businesses. This week, I interviewed Pete Mitchell. He is the chief marketing mercenary at Profit Hacking Solutions. And it was just a really, really awesome conversation. He had a ton of great, valuable stuff to say. So let me know what you think about this. Just a quick plug, I'm an online fitness coach. So if you're somebody who's just really, really struggling one way or another, whether it's not knowing what to do, struggling to be consistent with anything, not knowing what to do next, whatever it is, shoot me a text 251-635-8055. And I would love to just set up a time for us to chat and see what I can do to help you. Anyway, enjoy this episode and let me know what you think. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I have today with me Pete Mitchell. Pete and I connected because I listened to the Church Planner podcast. Literally, I don't know if I've told Peyton this, man, but I've never mentioned this to you. Like, that was kind of like my first real, like the first time church planning even like came across my mind. Like, I was a youth pastor and stuff, but like church planning was like, it had never even really crossed my mind for me, like until I started listening to you guys' podcast. And so that's, I've been listening to your voice for like years now. And first time that's I've funny. Actually like talked with you on here, like live. So
I know. Yeah. That's cool, man. I dig it.
Yeah, man. Well, why don't you introduce yourself and just tell everybody a little bit about your business, what you do?
Yeah. So well, you mentioned one of the niches that I work in, which is the Church Planner podcast, and I run Church Planner magazine. Ironically, those are two of the things that I'm most well known for, especially obviously in the pastor market. However, it's not really something that I focus on, as ironic as that sounds, even though I've been doing it for, I don't know, I think 7 years is how long we've been doing that. Yeah. Primarily what I do is I work with businesses to help them double their profits, usually over a 90-day period, without adding employees or having overwhelm or dealing with difficult clients. And really kind of how all that started for me is I got started as a, I was an entrepreneur my whole life and just didn't know that's what I was. Like, I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial family. My father was a pastor, which is why I actually do so much with pastors. And the motto was, you know, you go to a college, a good college, you get a degree, you go get a good safe job. Hey, if you can get a government job, even better, because they have pensions. Yeah. And, you know, you do that your whole life and then you retire and die. And I mean, like, that was the model. In fact, I still remember this one day I was finishing up college. I took 10 years to get a 4-year degree, so it took me a little bit longer than the average person. I was one Spanish class shy for 5 of them, and I refused to take it. I was like, this is ridiculous.
I can feel that, sure.
And I still remember, so I was talking to my dad one night, and they live up in San Francisco. I live in Southern California. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I got my third interview for this probation department job. And I still remember to this day, my dad goes, oh, man, those are great jobs. You can make like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
And the second I heard that, I was like, I'm not even going in for that third interview. Like, if the goal is 50 grand a year, this is not for me. And I didn't show up. I didn't call. I was like, I'm done. This is ridiculous. 50 grand a year. This is what I'm struggling for. This is why I got into debt to go to college. I mean, this is no, this is not for me. So, So I got into financial planning, of all things. And really, I think I got into it because it was like one of those things when it's a straight commission job where you actually get paid what you're worth. And there's no like games or anything. It's like, if you do the work, you earn the money.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And so I got really good at that. I ended up starting my own, what's called a registered investment advisor firm. Ironically, I still didn't know how to market. Like, I knew how to sell, and I concentrated on, you know, learning how to sell and taking courses and seminars and everything like that, but I didn't know how to market. And so all of a sudden, you know, 2008 hits, and I restarted to feel it in financial planning in 2007. Like, we knew stuff was up, and then, you know, everything hit the fan in 2008. And yeah. I was like, okay, I got to learn how to market. Cause at that point I was basically a one trick pony. Mm-hmm. If you've ever gotten those flyers in the mail where someone's like inviting you to dinner and you know, they're going to talk to you about a 401k rollover or something like that. That's what we did. That was our whole model.
Gotcha.
Invite people to a dinner, put them in a room, feed them, tell them about what you do. Some people are going to want to meet with you. And it worked great until 2008. And then it didn't work anymore.
Yeah. Can't imagine why.
Yeah, I know, right? The crash happens and we literally physically couldn't do the stuff that we were doing. Like the products literally didn't exist overnight anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I got to learn how to market. And I just dove headfirst into the whole marketing world, learned everything I could. I mean, I got my hands on every book, every course. I didn't care if the stuff was 5 years old or 30 days old. Like marketing doesn't change. The mediums change, but the core of how you motivate people and get them to move from one stage to the next doesn't change. And so I literally just learned everything I could. And then I started having friends who ran other companies are like, hey, we see what you're doing for your company. Can you help us out with ours?
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with marketing. And so eventually I ended up closing up the registered investment advisory firm and just did and still do marketing full time. And that's what I do.
Gotcha. And when did you go full time with the marketing?
I went full time with the marketing in 2010, but I didn't close the registered investment advisory, I think, until December 31st of 2016. And that's because in that business, you actually still get paid for what's called money under management. And so it was like, well, I don't really want to close it because I still get this money coming in. And then finally I was like, I don't want the liability and I'm not doing my clients any favors because I'm not, you know, going out there and actively seeking new clients or anything like that. So I finally, just for the liability issues, was like, I'm closing it down. But I, since 2010, I was doing marketing full time.
Cool. Well, before we jump into kind of some of the practical, like how you run your business questions, one thing I've been doing, and you'll get this question at the end too, is I'm giving like my first 10 guests, I'll ask them like, hey, what's a question you wish I would have asked in this interview at the end? And so this is one that one of the most recent guests asked. So what would you say have been some, since you started the marketing full time, has been like one of the biggest problems you've had to overcome in your business?
For me, I was like, I am not a great micromanager. I am, for me, it comes back to the whole being an entrepreneur. Like, I don't like being micromanaged. So therefore, I don't like to micromanage people. And one of the things that I've noticed is that most employees need more management than I can give them or that I'm comfortable giving them. And so for me, that's a thing that I really have to learn and stretch on, because I don't like, to me, if I tell one of my employees, hey, this is what I want, I'm telling them, this is the end result I want. I literally couldn't care less how you get there, what path you take. I just want you to end up there.
Yeah.
And what I found is that most employees really need that, well, I want to know the path. You know, I want to know that I'm not doing it wrong. I want to, and so that's been a big thing for me to learn, because I'm just like, look, dude, I don't care how you get there. This is what I want at the end, but they want that. And I'm not great at delivering that.
Yeah. They want like a, like just like an instruction package to walk them through it. Yeah. I'm with you, man. Okay. So, I'm just going to kind of transition into some of the practical pieces of it. So I know for you, like you do a few, you work in different groups, you know what I mean? So like the question I'm trying to ask is, who is your target audience? So you can kind of like focus in on one, or you can kind of like shotgun, just answer with all the different things you do if you want. So who is your target audience?
My target audience is usually businesses that are doing a minimum of $1 million in revenue, or pretty close to it.
Okay.
Not necessarily profits, but gross revenues. And they have a minimum of 4 employees outside of family members. And I prefer working with companies that have, that are usually in the housing market, or they have what we call big ticket items, like HVAC, plumbers, contractors, roofers, basically anyone in the housing, because pretty much everything there is really, really expensive. And the reason for that is simply this. When you've got somebody who's selling, let's say, we had to have our heater replaced a couple of years ago because it broke. And I think it was like $1,800 to have a new heater and installed and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And usually what they do is those companies will hire me to help them, again, double their profits or grow their profits. And it is much easier to help someone who's selling an $1,800 product get an extra 5-10 sales a month than it is helping someone who's selling a $100 product or a $50 product, or even worse, you know, a $2 widget.
Yeah.
Because now I've got to help them sell 5,000 more yeah. units a month. Yeah. And it's considerably more difficult the less expensive something is. So I'm usually looking for companies that have big ticket, high ticket items or really large profit margin items. So a lot of the companies that I work with a lot are training companies, educational providers in the real estate niche. I got a lot in the real estate niche. And again, for that, we might be selling a $500 training package or a $1,000 training package, but there's usually very little hard costs associated with that. You know, there's the merchant account fee and maybe some bandwidth on their website, but all in all, very, very high profit margin. And again, that's really easy to help someone grow that kind of a business because we've got yeah. a lot of profit that we can work with in our marketing. You know, yeah. we can spend more than the average guy to get another client.
Cool. So with marketing, now when I ask this question, I know that you're a marketer by trade. So like when I ask this, I'm not asking you how you market, like how you help your clients market. Maybe it's the same, but I'm asking how you market your company and how you get your product in front of like potential clients. So how do you market your services?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that I market my services. If you are limited to one or two ways to market your services, that's a very unhealthy place to have your business in. You want to have multiple streams of leads coming into your business at all times.
Yeah.
So we do a lot on Facebook. We do a lot with video ads on Facebook. I do seminars. I do joint venture partners. In fact, I'll tell you what I tell my clients because it's the same thing I do myself.
Yeah.
There are five groups that you want to go after in any business, and you want to go after them in this specific order. The first group are your current clients, and everyone's always like, what do you mean I want to go after my current clients? Look, you can upsell and cross-sell and do add-on sales for current clients significantly easier than you can with any other group of prospect. And the reason is because they have the highest level of trust with you because they're already buying. So like in your fitness business, I don't know that you do this. I'm just throwing this out there.
Let's if not, I will after you say it.
But, well, maybe not, right? Yeah. But it's just a concept here. If you've got someone who you're training and then you're like, oh, you know, and I also have these supplements over here. It's like a natural fit that you could then take that and cross sell it to your fitness clients because it's like, well, they already trust you. They're already buying from you, and now you're just adding more stuff to that. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, you want to go after your current clients first. The second group you want to go after are your past clients. These are people who've done business with you in the past. They already know you. They already like you. They already trust you. And for whatever reason, they're not doing business with you now. Let's go see if we can revive that relationship and bring in more sales. Then the third group you want to go after are your prospects. So these are people who know who you are, but they haven't yet done business with you. The fourth group is your joint venture partners. Someone else already has your ideal client. They've already spent the time, they've spent the money, they've spent the energy to develop what we call relationship capital with their database. And you want to go in there and pivot off of that relationship. And you can do that in so many different ways. Either you know, you do a joint venture where it's like, hey, look, I'm going to refer you, my clients to you. You refer your clients to me, or hey, maybe, you know, we offer this product to your clients and we'll do a rev split. So like an example is I'm doing a webinar in 2 weeks with a guy who's got a list of his clients and prospects that he's developed the relationship with. And he's in the real estate business. And I'm like, look, I've got a great training program for real estate agents. Why don't we do this joint venture together and I'll give you half the money from all the sales that we get. So for him, it's free money for him. And for me, it's free prospects for me. It doesn't cost either one of us anything and we both can make money from it. So that's the fourth group. The fifth group is the group that everyone wants to go after first. Mm. And it's the one that you should go after last. and that's the cold market.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you know, what ad can I run that's going to magically bring in clients? And yeah, we do that because all of this has pros and cons. Your current clients, your past clients, your prospects, your joint venture partners, basically there's a, you can't scale those as much. Like your current clients, you have a lot less of those. Your past clients, you have usually more than your current clients. But again, it's really hard to scale that because there's still a max.
Yeah.
Your prospects, there's usually a lot more of that, more of them. Your joint venture partners, you can actually, you know, get a lot of those. But again, you got to do the work of developing a relationship with someone, that kind of thing. The cold market is the one thing that you can scale the easiest.
Yeah.
Because it's unlimited. I mean, the cold market is basically everyone else.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to each of these, but you still want to go after the low-hanging fruit first as you're building up and going after the cold market, which is the harder market to get. But, you know, how I implement that in my business is I do all those things. I go after current clients. I go after prospects. I go after past clients. I do seminars. I do video ads on Facebook. I do everything. Because you want to have multiple streams of leads coming into your business.
Yeah. Yeah. How big of a role do like referrals with like current clients play in your business?
Very big, because again, when you're doing the type of stuff that I'm doing, most people don't know who they can trust. And there's a million quote unquote marketing gurus out there.
Yeah.
So referrals are fantastic, but something that you want to structure. You know, I work with so many different real estate agents. And like their method for getting referrals is, you know, they'll put on their emails and their business card, hey, the highest compliment you can give me is a referral.
Yeah.
But think about that for a second. Who is thinking to themselves, gosh, I'd really like to give my real estate agent the highest compliment I could possibly give them. Yeah. Oh, and great. They just told me it's by giving them a referral. Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
No one's looking to give you a referral. So you have to structure how you get referrals and how you get your clients to give you referrals. So I'll give you an example actually from the real estate industry. And I use the same thing in my own business. We put together what are called educational consumer guides. And that's really what our job is as entrepreneurs and business owners. It's to provide value and service to our clients and prospects so that they want to do business with us. So I'll give you an example. We've got a real estate agent. Well, we've got lots of them, but one particular one that I'm thinking of that specializes in what's called the downsizing market. So these are people who are usually more advanced in age, usually 62 plus, and they're thinking to themselves, I got this big home. All the kids have moved out. I need to basically move down to something smaller.
Yeah.
Now they have two big questions in their head. The first is, okay, what happens if I sell my current home but can't buy a new one? I don't want to be homeless. And the second question is, but what if I buy a new home and no one buys mine? Now I've got two mortgages to pay. How does that work?
Yeah.
So you have to actually address both of those issues. And we do that in a consumer guide. Basically, the title of it is how to downsize without having two mortgages to pay or ending up homeless, because we're addressing both of those issues.
Right.
And so what we do is we have that in a great little consumer guide. It's got all this great educational information in it. And then we've got our four steps at the end of what they can do next. Of course, one of those steps, steps three, is why don't you reach out to me? I'd love to see if I can help you as the real estate professional. And what we do is we then go to all of our current clients and say, hey, if you hear of someone who's thinking about downsizing, I've got a great consumer guide that you can provide to them. That is now a much easier referral for that person to provide, because now it's not like, hey, go call Pete, who's a salesman and going to try and sell you on selling your home. Now it's, hey, look, I know this guy who's put together this great little consumer guide on how to downsize the right way so you don't end up homeless or having two mortgages to pay.
Yeah.
Now it's an easy referral.
That's
and so
awesome.
You have to set systems like that in place so you can get the referrals.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, man. Now, this is one of those parts of this podcast that I'm interviewing right now, but I'll go back and listen to as just a spectator later and take notes on. So cool. So what I normally ask here is kind of like, what kind of content do you put out? But you've kind of already answered that. So like, I'm going to kind of tailor this question to you and just kind of ask, what kind of content do you think is beneficial to put out? Like, do you kind of fall more in the camp of like volume? Like, a lot of people are just cranking out, like, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like, maybe it's not high quality, but it's helpful. Or are you more, do you advise more of like a, hey, spend a lot of time and put out like maybe one good video, one good article, something like that? Like, how do you think about content, and like, how do you coach people to do that?
So, great question. I would say I definitely fall into the basically quantity of content, which is not to say that quality isn't important. Of course, it's ultimately very important. But I'll give you an example here. So I have a 9-step sequence that I walk all of our businesses through. And our 9 steps basically are going through from where you are to get you to where it is you want to go. Yeah. And one of the things that I have all of our clients do is actually put together their 9 steps for their clients. So as an example, in my business, you know, I've got to identify your perfect client. You got to select the best sales process. You got to create your lead bait. You got to have your direct to consumer offline marketing. You got to have your digital marketing, that social media, search engine, podcasts. You have to pre-sell and pre-sort your prospects, so you're only dealing with the right prospects. You got to automate your referral systems, and you've got to get reviews and testimonials from past clients. So we've got basically all these steps that we're walking people through.
Yeah.
And then here's what we do for content. If I'm going to create content, it just has to live in one of those steps. So it's not like I'm sitting there going, well, what am I going to go talk about? You know, when I'm going to do this video, it's, well, hey, look, let me talk about lead bait. How do you create lead bait that actually gets you the kind of clients that you want? Or how do I do direct mail? That's in step 5 for us. Or how do I do podcasts? Well, that's step 6. Or how do I do the follow-up system, which is where all the money is made. It's made in the follow-up. That's step 7 for us. So I will basically create content that lives in one of those steps. And I'll do a lot of this on videos, and then I'll repurpose them as podcasts. And in doing that, I'm going to give someone great information and then a call to action. And cool. So you have to know your sales process, because the sales process is really, really important. For a lot of times, what my sales process is, you know, I'll give great content, like you and I are doing great content right here. If you want to know more, you can go to mymarketingrevolution.com. You'll get my 9 steps right there. And I'll take you to a training video after you do what's called opting in. And I'll basically walk through these things in a little bit more detail. And so I'll tell people that. And so then it's like, okay, cool. So they'll go to mymarketingrevolution.com. They opt in. They get taken to the video. In the video, I basically walk through in more detail whatever it is that I'm trying to explain to them, or get the concept across, or whatever it might be. And then there's a call to action at the end, which for me, most of the time, it's, hey, if this makes sense to you and you'd like to see if we could work together, or if this would be a good fit, here's what your next step is. There's a button that's going to pop up on the screen. Go ahead and click on that and set a call with me. And yeah. You and I will jump on the phone and we'll actually talk about this and see if this makes sense for you. So that's my sales process. So it's like, okay, how do I just get more people basically to watch that video?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to create more content that has to do with one of those 9 steps. And by the way, if you want more, go over here and get the whole video where I go into detail on this. And so it's just really about running people through, in my case, that particular funnel.
Okay, cool. Yeah. The next question was going to be like, what is your sales process? And you just answered that. So perfect.
Yeah. And the sales process, it changes for every niche that I work in. Cause like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I work in a lot of different niches. It's just, I found the easiest for me is essentially, you know, taking someone to a video or webinar or live seminar where I basically explain in detail what it is that I do, how they, and basically I'm explaining what it is that I do by telling them, here's how you do it in your business. And then at the end of that, if you want to take the next step, here's what the next step is. And it's either, you know, buy this training program over here or set up a call with me and we'll see if this makes sense for you. I always try and tell people, here's what the investment is to work with me before, because again, I don't want to get on the phone with someone until they know everything.
Yeah.
They know what I do. Yeah. They know how much it costs. They know everything. And so if they get on the phone with me, it's really just a chance for them to get their questions answered and for me to get my questions answered. And if we're a good fit, great. If we're not, no problem. We go on to the next.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I found, like, just side note here, I found even in my own business, like, that changed everything when it came to my sales process. I am not a natural salesman at all, but like I was so awkward on the phone when it came to the, like the pitch piece, you know what I mean? Right. But now like I have a whole survey built out that they fill out beforehand that like sets up a consult call, you know, so that we can, I already know everything about their fitness goals. They already know how much it costs. They already know what the program is. We're just going to talk details and how it applies to them on the phone. And that changed everything. So,
yeah. And it makes it like, I'm a massive introvert, right? Like even though I love public speaking, I don't like meeting people one-on-one. It's very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
So sales for me was not a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And I needed to set everything up so that way it would be really easy for me. And that's why I prefer, I call this getting people to call me, right? I don't call them. I don't cold call them.
Yeah.
You know, I ran an ad, which was rejection free to me because if they didn't like it, they didn't click on it. Not a big deal. Then they went and they watched the video. And again, I'm only talking to them if they watched it and decided, hey, I want to set a call with this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So, we've already kind of talked through your sales process. So kind of just getting into the retention piece, like what makes people like stay on with you and even to the point where they would want to like refer someone to you, like what are, obviously I know like results is a big piece of it, but so you can dig into that more, but also just what causes like client retention for you?
So there's a lot of things when it comes to client retention. Obviously, in my business, results is the number one thing because no one's going to stick with you and certainly not going to refer clients to you if you're not helping them make more money.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing is I have to help them make more money. But there are a lot of other things that you need to do for client retention. So one of the number one things that we do in our business and that my clients who actually do it have success with, the literal number one thing is we send a physical printed newsletter every month to our database, not emailed. Cause the problem with email is the average person gets 148 emails a day. Yeah. Mine's probably like 500 or 600. They don't have time for it. They know it's free. Therefore the value is seen as cheap.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is worth nothing to me, but you get a nice 4-page newsletter in a nice envelope mailed to you. I've literally had so many people reach out to me and go, hey, Pete, I'm moving. Here's my new address. Can you make sure I get your newsletter at my new address?
Awesome. Yeah.
Because we're giving great value in the newsletter. And it's like, they want to hear from me. Like they want that every month.
Yeah.
And then you have the opportunity to let them know about how you've been working with other people. So like one of my clients, and he's also a partner of mine in another niche that we work together in, Dave Negri. He'll have a section in his newsletter of best referral this month. And it'll be like, you know, Joe Blow referred Jane Blow over here. And this is what we did for them.
Oh,
and the other
thing
too is a lot of times as business owners, we do a lot more than what our clients know we do.
Yeah.
And so by telling the story, he's able to show, hey, you know what? You thought I was just a painting guy and I painted your home. Well, I also do roof repair and we, you know, fixed Jane's roof over here.
Yeah.
And so by telling the story of a referral that they got, they're basically letting everyone know, hey, we want referrals. We love referrals. We accept referrals. And this is something else that we do in case you might happen to need that as well. So the print newsletter is one of the most important things you can do in your business.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. Thanks. I'm gonna think through that after we do this. So this next one is kind of like, it's as it applies to your business, but a little bit more like, about you specifically. So like, it's about just kind of like self-improvement. I think it's easy to kind of like come in with a, like, for instance, you dove all the way in on the marketing when you decided, you know, you didn't know it and you wanted to learn it. So I think it'd be easy for you to just kind of like, just ride that forever. But like, what things do you do to kind of like stay on top of like your industry and like, or like just kind of improve like your skill set and things like that, that you can provide to your clients?
Well, I don't think you could ever just coast, especially in the world of marketing, because while the principles of marketing don't change, the mediums absolutely do. I mean, you know, back in the day it was MySpace. Obviously that's dead today.
Yeah. I've tried to find mine with no success.
Right. Right. So the mediums are going to change. However, how you interact with people, all that stuff doesn't change. So for me, I'm constantly like, I prefer to listen to books on Audible as opposed to reading a book, not because I'm opposed to reading a book. It's just easier for me in my lifestyle when I'm driving to turn on a book. So I actually prefer to drive to certain places that would probably be better for me to fly, only because I know it's going to leave me stuck in a car for 6 to 8 hours each way. And that means, because I don't listen to things at one time speed, I'm usually listening to it at two or two and a half times speed. I can crank through, you know, some great podcasts or some great books. I'm also a part of very high level mastermind groups. And I do that because of not just who's in the room, but who's not in the room. So even though I run mastermind groups, I'm in mastermind groups. That's because I know the value of them. And I don't think you can ever just sit back and be like, okay, I've reached the pinnacle, I'm done. You got to always be trying to improve yourself.
So you're mostly an, you listen mostly to audio, like you take in mostly audio, and then you surround yourself like with other people who are,
for me,
kind of at the level you want to be at.
And that's, that's a personal thing for me, because I'm not, like, it's funny, like some of my friends, they prefer YouTube videos, and honestly, that would drive me up the wall. Like, I don't want to sit there and watch YouTube. I just don't. That's not me. But I get it. And I don't really care how someone consumes it, because we're all different. It's just for me, that's the easiest way for me to do it.
I'm the same, man. It freaks me out to think about spending an hour sitting there watching like YouTube videos. I'm very much audio as well.
And the other thing too is I literally have a 100-inch screen TV. And I'm like, I'm not gonna watch it on my phone with its 5-inch screen. Like that's ridiculous. I'm not doing that.
I listen to probably like 4 hours of podcast or audiobooks a day, like between all driving. I mean, between my coaching like business, obviously that takes a lot of focus. Like, but I sell furniture as well, and I deliver a lot of it. So I have a good bit of drive time and a good bit of time that I'm like cleaning or fixing things and stuff like that. So like that, it's never just like me just working in silence. Like it's always listening to something. So sometimes that's bad because it's information overload and I have to kind of like pause it and just listen to something that doesn't matter for a while, just so that I can like implement some of the stuff. But okay. So the next one, kind of in the same vein. So like just sort of like inspiration for you. Like I know that I'll ask this question because people seem to answer it one of two ways. Like for some people, it's very much like people don't really need a lot of inspiration. They're like, they're doing something they're already excited about. So they're just kind of like, they stay inspired. But even for the, like, so if you're not that kind of person, how would you say that you stay inspired? But if you are that kind of person who doesn't really need a lot of that, everybody still has, you know, like down days where you just don't feel like doing it. So like what things like inspire you, or like what are your go-to things to kind of like keep you motivated, inspired to keep pushing on like that day or whatever it is?
Well, that's a tougher question to answer, because for me, there's a couple of different answers to that. The first is that there is nothing to me more exciting than when you've worked really hard on an ad, you've put it out there, Facebook, Google, newspaper, magazine, whatever it is, and it works just the way you thought it was. Like the phone starts ringing, people start coming in to the website, whatever it is, whatever the funnel is that you've set up. There is nothing more intoxicating than like you do it and it works, because the reality is any marketer who's like, oh yeah, every time I put out an ad, it works, they're lying, right? It just doesn't work like that. You're always tweaking, you're always adjusting, you're always doing that kind of stuff. And I mean, you know, the best marketers in the world, I mean, like the best, the ones that get $100,000 just to take your phone call, right? They're still doing like 1 out of 10 success. So it's, when it happens, it's like, man, this is the greatest feeling in the world. So for me, it's chasing that high of I want it to land. I want this thing to work. And it doesn't matter if it's for my own business or for my client's business. For me, it's the same high of, all right, we did it and it worked. But to the second answer that I would say to that is, you can't focus solely on results. You have to focus on the action. So, you know, like the question of what if you're just not motivated one day, that's why you just focus on the action. It's not, you know, because the thing is when you start having success, you get complacent. But if you just focus on the action, hey, today, this is what I have to do. And I know that by doing this, I'm doing the foundational steps that it's going to bring me another client. It's going to bring me another deal. It's going to bring me another transaction, another patient, whatever it is. And so you focus on the action, and that's what you make just the integral part of your day. You always take the action that you needed to take.
Love that, man. when it comes to planning for your business, kind of winding down here on the practical questions, but when it comes to planning for your business, are you kind of like a, you've got years planned out, or is it kind of more of like a, you know, day to day, month to month kind of thing? Like, what does planning look like in your business?
I usually know what I want to have happen that year, but certainly not years out. I don't think that that works in today's society at all, with everything changing so quickly. I don't remember what company it was, but some company, everyone was like hailing. It was like, I don't know, a Korean company, and they'd planned out the next 500 years for their company.
Wow.
It's like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen the next 5 years, let alone 500. So I usually know what I want to make happen that year. And I've kind of mapped it out. Okay, I'm doing this launch here, and you know, I want to have, you know, these many new clients that I'm helping with their stuff. And I focus on it like that. So it's definitely much more shorter term than longer term. And then I'm usually looking at the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the only way to do it, man. There's so many variables, you know, that can change. Like,
right.
Yeah. So this is just a super, super practical question, but I've had this requested to be asked, like, what kind of payment method do you use with your clients? Like, what kind of tool or software, what do they use to pay you? And it's it may be multiple, but.
We have a saying in my company. In fact, I've gotten, I've said it so much to my clients that I have my clients saying it back to me as they're talking about their clients.
Yeah.
The saying is GTM, and that stands for get the money.
Okay.
I don't care how you get the money.
Yeah.
But we get the money. I mean, if someone wants to give me a check, give me a check. If they want to do it by credit card, give me your credit card. If they want to do a wire transfer, do a wire transfer. Get the money. I don't care how we get it.
Cool.
So we do everything. Obviously, we do all the, you know, the credit card stuff, and we'll invoice someone.
Yeah.
Some of my clients, because like I'll get a percentage of the growth that I help them create. And if I'm helping them create a lot of money, it's just usually easier for them to wire it.
Yeah.
So they'll just, you know, wire, you know, that month's profit share over to me. So whatever it takes to get the money, man, that's cool. That's what I'm all in favor.
That you're the first person who said that. So that's a cool, most people have like, oh, I use Square. I use PayPal. Like I like to just get it. Just get the money. Money,
man. That's awesome. That point. Get the money.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. So kind of wrapping it up here. Like let's say that you are speaking to somebody, that is either a new business owner or is about to like start a business, and you can only give them like one piece of advice. Like what would you tell them?
Man, a brand new business owner, one piece of advice. What would I tell them?
Yeah.
I tell them you need to focus on building a list and developing a relationship with that list.
Okay.
So it's going to take time. I mean, everyone wants the quick hit. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it does, right? But unfortunately, then you think it always does.
Yeah.
And you know, when it doesn't anymore, you're like, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So focus on building a list, which means you need to have a good database program, what we call a contact management system, or a contact relationship manager. You need to have something like that, and you need to know, okay, how am I going to now develop my relationship with this list? And when it's only one person, don't be mad, right? Everybody starts with one, and then you get 10, and then 50, then 100, then 1,000, and so on and so forth. But if you're like, well, you know, when I finally have 5,000 people in my database, then I'll worry about, you know, developing a report. It's too late. It's too late. You already missed that first 5,000. You basically have zero again.
Yeah.
So always be thinking about, how do I develop rapport with this database of mine?
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, man. So just like I told you, I was going to ask this, we've been through all the questions now, except for like, where can we find you? So if you were a listener of this podcast, you know, and I was interviewing a different small business owner every week, is there a question in here that like you wish I would have asked that you would like to hear like different small business owners answer?
No, I thought your questions were all pretty good. So
cool. That's
good. I was kind of happy with the questions.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I mean, if you think of something later, feel free to let me know. Cause I'm always trying to, I don't want to have like eventually like a 3-hour podcast of just full of questions, but like, you know, I do like, if there's something that's like a glaring weakness or something that like I should ask, I would love to include that. I'm not going to ask it forever, but the first like 10 or so guests, which you're number 9, not 10, that's, I'm asking that question. So cool, nice. Man. So, where can we find you? Like, I put this kind of in the show notes. So like, what would you like put in there?
MyMarketingRevolution.com. And what you'll find there are my 9 steps of basically how to double your profits over the next 90 days without overwhelm, adding employees, or dealing with difficult clients. And then again, you know, once you do what we call opting in, right, where you give up your information to get the 9 steps, then on the next page, I'll take you to a little video there and I'll walk you through exactly what I do for clients. And like I said before, if someone watches that and they're like, hey, you know what, I'd like to know about working with Pete. Hey, cool. At the end, I'll invite you to set a call with me and we'll get on the phone and we'll chat and we'll see if it makes sense.
Cool. And just to be clear, I meant to ask this earlier, but do you work with people anywhere or is it just locally?
Yeah, no, I do all over the nation, really. Okay. Not so much international, though I can. Mm-hmm. I've had a few clients in Canada. They always have a harder problem because of the exchange rate, because I don't lower my rate just because you're in Canada. That's your problem.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. Right. And I've had people in Germany and stuff like that, but it's a little bit more difficult for them usually, again, because of the exchange rate. So I usually just work nationwide. It doesn't matter to me where someone's at. In fact, many of my clients, I've actually never met face-to-face before. Yeah. We do everything via Zoom and the phone because who really cares? It's all about the results.
Yeah,
it's
2020.
You get the results. Let's just do it.
Cool. All right, Pete. Well, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on here, man. Thank you so much. It was really awesome.
No problem, Brandon. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.